Hey there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
And you're listening to us on WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You're also listening to us on clickexposed.com. Additionally, we're broadcasting with pride worldwide at qnation.fm. It's June 2nd, 2010. It's our only June show.
It is.
It's our only June show. Although, next week we're going to do a rainbow rewind.
Yes, we are.
A rainbow rewind. So tune in to find out what past show.
What that is.
And before next week, we'll figure out what that is, too. So we're going to dive right into the news. You ready to dive right in?
I am ready.
It's like this story was made for our show. It's important that we remind people that these things still do indeed happen. UFC, which is some sort of fighting thing. What does that stand for? I feel like you
know. Some sort of fighting thing?
Yeah, it's like those mixed martial artists, UFC people. This fighter, Quentin Rampage Jackson, he is the guy who, did you see the new A-Team? They're making a new A-Team movie.
No, how did I miss this?
I have no idea. So they're making a new A-Team movie, and he is going to be the Mr. T role.
You can't replace Mr. T.
And yet,
come on.
And yet, he's going to be the Mr. T role. And he told a reporter on the Vancouver, Canada set of the film that acting is, quote, kind of gay. Yeah. So
really? This
was his quote. Quote, acting is kind of gay. It makes you soft. You got all these people combing your hair and putting a coat over your shoulders when you're cold. I don't want a coat over my shoulders. I'm a tough ass. And then it says in parentheses, individual. So I don't know what his actual word was. And this guy, Quentin Rampage Jackson, allegedly also got into an altercation with a crew member while making the movie, cussing at him and shouting him down with every conceivable gay slur. So I'm not going to see the A-Team.
Okay.
He thinks it's kind of gay and he's using it derogatorily. I don't need to see that.
I don't think I would have seen the A-Team anyway.
I hate to report that,
but I probably wouldn't have.
I might have gone to see it. So that's happening. And then this is a really interesting story. So there was this outing. There was an outing this week.
Yes.
Representative Mark Kirk, who is a Republican congressman long suspected by the gay community to be gay, actually is gay, according to this other guy, Mike Rogers. So the interesting thing is that Representative Mark Kirk actually has a pretty pro-gay voting record. He voted for ENDA. He voted against a constitutional ban on gay marriage. And he voted to reintroduce the Equal Rights Amendment. So why is this gay activist? And this was a story that was over on 365gay.com. Jennifer Venasco, who's the editor-in-chief, put this out there. She said, why is this gay activist outing this guy? And apparently he's outing him because Representative Mark Kirk voted against the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And so this guy says, oh, he came out to him at a party and this is all this. But these are the questions that Jennifer poses, and I ask them to you, Becca. What do you think about this, folks? Do you think his gayness will make a difference in the upcoming election? Is there actual hypocrisy here, or was this just a bill he didn't agree with? Because, as we know, not all gay people vote in lockstep, and the House didn't need his vote to pass the bill. Or is this an anti-gay vote by voting against Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Is that to help his election? So is that hypocrisy?
It was probably to help his election.
You think?
When do we start expecting politicians to act, you know, morally?
Wow. And there we go. That's the political commentary provided to you by This Show Is So Gay.
I'm just saying.
Every Wednesday.
They have a job. Their job is to be political.
But if that were the case, then why would he vote for all of the other gay
more
things?
Good if he gets booted out of office.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, but he voted for all these other gay things, so is it hypocrisy that he voted against Don't Ask, Don't Tell? If you're gay, do you have to vote for every gay thing, I think,
well,
is the core question.
Well, not if you disagree
question.
With it. There I suppose if we're going to go and make it sound like, you know, politicians have morals, then if he disagrees with it, he does not have to vote for it.
But, so, Becca,
or I guess he's really supposed to be representing his constituents. So if his constituents are terribly against it, it shouldn't really matter what he feels.
And I actually don't know where he's from. I don't think that was in this article.
I mean, our representatives are technically supposed to represent us.
Right.
And hopefully be guided by some sort of moral compass, though that doesn't happen. So, not all the time. Thanks, Shumlin.
Sorry, I'm just really... How do you feel about politicians, Becca?
It's really hot in this studio. I think it's making me bitter.
Hey, you know, I'm... did you read how I'm going to be involved in the Uganda? Political... No, not. We'll talk about Uganda later. But I'm going to be involved in the political process. I threw my hat in the ring for one of the appointments that they're... One of the vacancies in Brattleboro. Did you read this?
Well, you know how I feel about politicians, Ken.
I'm going to be, hopefully, you know, if they vote for me... I don't think it's a vote. I think it's an appointment. If they appoint me, I'm going to be a fence viewer. That I'm going to be the guy that you call if you and your neighbor have some sort of property dispute.
You just love drama, Ken. I'm sorry. That's like...
I swoop in and I tell you if the peach
tree... Are you going
to
be like measuring?
I'm so excited. I'm going to determine where the property line is. And I'm going to vote for the cute people. I mean, I'm going to vote for the property line.
He can be bought.
So easily.
Vegan brownies
so
or something.
So easily. All right, let's play some music. Here we go.
You're gonna cut that.
I'll leave that in. Okay. That was a little bar mitzvah shout out.
Was it?
Come on. That's a bar mitzvah staple.
Well, is someone having a bar mitzvah?
I feel like it's my bar mitzvah.
Oh, are you a man today, Ken?
I'm thinking about it. So here is your update on Malawi. If folks did not hear, Tiwange Chimbalanga and Stephen Mongeza were actually released last Saturday, a few hours after President Bingu wa Mutharika pardoned them without condition. They were indeed pardoned.
And it's all because we asked for it.
I think it's all because Madonna asked for it.
Well, that could
have something. Because Madonna got involved, and they were released. But in giving his pardon, which he said was on, quote, humanitarian grounds only, the president warned that homosexuality remains illegal in the conservative Southern African country. Activists said late Saturday that the couple, that Tawange and Stephen, were searching for a safe house for the couple, fearing that they could be attacked upon release. And that's not just by strangers. I was reading one article that was all about how one of their family said, if the other one shows up here, we're going to, you know, beat him down, and he better not show his face here. And so... And then one of them was saying, I can't give you this interview. I desperately need money. I need to seek asylum somewhere. And he was seeking like $600. I wanted to just send him $600. And so hopefully some U.S. news conglomerate with a crap
or Madonna
load of, or Madonna with a crap load of money. Can,
I think Madonna could handle $600.
I think she could, and add, you know, 3 or 4 zeros onto that.
Because Madonna, we're calling you out.
Calling out Madonna. So there's that. But then over in, on the opposite side, in Pakistan, did you read about this? Pakistan has jailed two people for what authorities claim was an attempted gay marriage. These two gentlemen deny that they were putting on a ceremony or even in a relationship. So they have been put in jail. So now hopefully we can get those folks.
Can you imagine being put in that position, like you're in the middle of a ceremony and then you have to pretend like you don't even know each other?
Right. We're saying, no, you have to go to jail because you dastardly folks were expressing love, and you have to say, I don't even know that guy. I'm just...
How can anyone justify this garbage? Oh, I just almost used bad words. I'd have to yell at myself on behalf of the FCC.
It's the last show for a couple months, and you're saying this. Okay, and then in school news, I thought this was a fascinating story. We're going to file this story under biggest coincidence of the year, according to the perpetrators.
I know exactly where we're going with this.
Two Southern Oregon University students cite boredom and not homophobia, because, you know, they're really, it's such a thin line between boredom and homophobia.
I frequently, on a slow day, I just slip
right into it. Oh, God, I have nothing to do. I hate gay people. Oh, I was just bored.
Silly.
I can't stand when that happens. So two Southern Oregon University students cited boredom and not homophobia as their motivation for spraying a gender-neutral residence floor with anti-gay graffiti. Blake Adkins and Kevin Novotny friend them on Facebook. They plan to issue a public apology.
You know, if you're bored.
Yes, if you're bored and you just want to write really, you know, nice things on their wall. Blake Adkins, A-D-K-I-N-S, and Kevin Novotny, they plan to issue a public apology and personal letter to students for vandalizing a residence hall at Ashland-based Southern Oregon University, where many gay students live. Both men allege that they did not know that gay students lived on the residence floor and claim the anti-gay terms were used. That it was, this is my favorite part. They claim the anti-gay terms used, mere coincidence. It was a coincidence.
Oops. We slipped.
Authorities arrested Adkins and Novotny in April. Following the incident, the two students pled guilty to second-degree charges of criminal mischief, and they paid $400 in fines. We should get that $400 to get it over to Malawi.
Yeah, right.
Southern Oregon University is in the process of reviewing disciplinary actions for both men, including possible expulsion.
As a dean, how would you deal with that?
Expulsion.
Oh, yeah.
Did we hesitate there? No, it would be expulsion, and I probably wouldn't have taken this long, and I probably would have been yelled at for not respecting due process.
Yeah.
That's what would have happened. But yeah, no, absolutely. I don't care that it was great. If that's what you do when you're bored, still expelled, because we're obviously not challenging you enough here at Southern Oregon University.
That's right.
Where I'm sure fantastic people work, and it's a great place. But give me
a freaking break. But you got to give them more homework because they're getting bored.
Yeah, they're getting bored. And you know, when you're bored, you're homophobic.
It happens to me all the time.
Just slip right into it.
God.
Ay, ay, ay. And with that, more music. By the way, huge deal, and we'll talk about it with our guest tonight. This is the first time in a really long time that all the songs that the guest requested are already on my iPod.
Nice.
I purchased Nary a New Song.
Oh, how excited
we'll
are you?
We'll talk about that. So enjoy. By the way, big shocker that I have this song on my iPod, right?
Oh, God.
Enjoy. It's like a bar mitzvah tonight. That's a bar mitzvah song.
That
too.
Is a bar mitzvah very song. Exciting.
So this story kind of annoys me a little bit, and I might be taking
is it
the
China?
Road less traveled. Well, we can talk about China in a second. This is the 49 attorneys general from Maine and Virginia who they declined to sign. They filed a brief against the Westboro Church because the Westboro Baptist Church, they protested this Marine's funeral in 2006. And now everyone's on board. Like, these protests are inappropriate. We need to take action and we need to file these. And I don't know. This is the church that protested Matthew Shepard's funeral.
Right.
I mean,
they're
give
not
me a
nice
break.
People
give
necessarily.
Give me a break. So, kind of annoyed me. Anyway, with that, we're going to play one more song.
Got to work on that. Red wine, God, God, God. Oh.
tossing. Let me watch you break it down. And damn, it's gonna be okay.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Time to welcome a guest.
Absolutely.
Guest, are you ready to be welcomed?
I am so ready to be welcomed with open arms.
Well, I have to tell you before we even start, we are just assuming that it's your bat mitzvah today because we feel like this is bat mitzvah music.
Kind of is.
Just want to put that out there. I don't know if other interviews of yours start that way, but that's the where this just went.
I have to say it's a first, and I would love for it to be my bat mitzvah today.
Today, the task force is a woman. So here we go. Ray Carey is the executive director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. In her time at the task force, she's been the driving force behind the creation of the Public Policy and Government Affairs Department, the Movement Building Department. She orchestrated the focusing of the organization's resources behind key goals, including the creation of the Academy for Leadership and Action. She worked really hard in the National Conference on LGBT Equality, creating change. My gosh, there's a lot. Increasing the amount of government funds for the LGBT community. She's also served as an advisor to major donors and foundations and has served on advisory boards for such wide-ranging publications as the Georgetown University Journal of Gender and the Law and its sister publication, Teen People. Ray Carey, welcome to this show, Is So Gay.
Well, thank you, Ken and Becca. I see that we sent you perhaps my most boring bio.
is also Ray Carey's bat mitzvah today. I'm just trying to spice up the bio.
Does that help?
We should have started with that, as you did.
I know. All right.
What's your more interesting bio?
Go for it. Two sentences that would really pique everybody, that people don't know about Ray Carey.
Things they don't know about me. Well, I think you just listed it all there.
I'm all right.
Sure. Interestingly, I am not a lawyer, although some of my best friends are lawyers, having served on that journal.
Right.
But, I'm a far more interesting person, I think.
I'm
think
so are you a
no
lawyer
doubt.
Ally?
Yes.
Oh, you have to be a lawyer. I assume you're a lawyer ally.
I am an ally to lawyers.
There you go.
It's true.
Nice.
They need allies.
Well,
they
that's.
Do.
I assume that's what the L. No, wait. That's not what the L stands for.
No.
Ray. Now, this is perhaps in 2 years of the show the dumbest question I've ever asked anyone. Except it kind of comes close to when we asked Evan Wolfson if he wakes up in the morning and says, "Hey, do you just think I wake up in the morning and I argued a case before the Supreme Court? Do you wake up in the morning, Ray, and say?" Because I just would imagine that you wake up and say, I'm the executive director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force.
I marvel at it all the time because, and here's why, two things. One, first of all, I can't believe I'm alive at this time in history. I mean, really, everything that's going on in our movement for LGBT people, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people, it is extraordinary. So I just feel lucky to be alive, let alone being able to work for an organization that when I was 16 years old, growing up in Denver, Colorado, and coming out as a young lesbian in Colorado, and I'd go to the women's bookstore there that was called the Book Garden, which is very lesbian of it.
Love it.
And, you know, kind of squirreled away these newspapers, and I'd read about this organization that was doing really interesting work, and lo and behold, it turned out to be the task force. And so, I do wake up a lot of mornings saying, I can't believe I get to do this.
Because I woke up this morning and said, I'm going to talk to the executive director of the task force, so I can only imagine it's different for you in the morning.
But it also had to be a rough transition. I mean,
You can't be in the closet and also the executive director of the task force.
No, there is no way for that to be the case. Although sometimes when I'm on an airplane and, you know, your next door person asks you what you do, I'll say, oh, I run a nonprofit. And that's when I'm not in a very talkative mood. But other than that, there hasn't been a closet in my last many years since I came out at 16.
Which was only like 3 years ago.
Exactly. I know. I'm still getting used to coming out.
Really? You ascended very quickly, Ray. Very quickly. I would love to hear you give the spiel about, so someone who just doesn't know, it's not someone who listens to this show.
Inconceivable.
If someone says to you, I don't know what that is, the task force and all those letters, what's your spiel? How do you tell people this is what the task force is? Because obviously it's not the only national gay rights organization. So how do you differentiate it? What do you say?
You bet. Well, we love working with our brother and sister organizations, first of all, and there are many of us, and we are still not enough compared to what we're up against on our opposition, so I will say that. But the Task Force is an exciting organization because we are an organization that is really focused not on telling people what they should do or what issues they should care about, but rather making sure that we are supporting people across the country, people who are grassroots activists, people who may be working on a campaign for the first time, getting involved, in supporting them in their vision for their future and the future of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. So we do a lot of grassroots trainings around the country, and we tend to also have a pretty progressive bent to our work.
Right.
We tend to have a little bit different perspective than some of our other colleagues. And we also work a lot with non-lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender organizations in the work that we accomplish.
Partnerships.
Yeah.
Indeed. I know. Crazy thought.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
You almost make it seem like there's strength in numbers.
And there is. But at the same time, there's lately about small grassroots groups. And I'm just kind of wondering, what do you think the role and the future role of these organizations are? I mean, there are larger groups out there who are pushing the issues. Do you think that grassroots organizations can approach issues in a more radical or aggressive way than a larger, more mainstream group could?
Because, like, Get Equal has gotten a lot of press lately. I think they're actually on the homepage of The Advocate today, and they've also caught a lot of flack because their tactics are perhaps a little bit more aggressive than some of the more national organizations. What are the role of these organizations in this landscape?
Well, you know, our perspective at the task force, having been at this for 37 years in our activism, is that there are a lot of pieces to the pie, and there are a lot of ways to get things done. And in order to make the change that we all seek, there is no one strategy, no one tactic, no one approach that is going to get us there. We really have to look at how we can leverage all of our talents and our skills and our energy to do that. And the folks with Get Equal are part of that. I know Kip and Robin and others who started it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're a part of, if you will, the public conversation right now, which is how do we get change done? And there are lots of ways to get that done, and they range from meeting with your elected officials, whether it's in, you know, their hometown or when they're here in Washington. But it also may mean talking to friends and neighbors, and at times it means taking to the streets.
Yeah.
One of the examples I like to give is that I myself, when I graduated college and moved to D.C., was both an AIDS lobbyist and I was in ACT UP at the exact same time,
wow,
as were many of my friends. And, you know, we would coordinate together to say, okay, well, we've got a meeting on the Hill, or we're going to pressure the White House to do this. And then the other group would say, okay, well, we're going to do a die-in the next day to call attention to it. So, you know, there are lots of ways that different tactics can work together to apply pressure to those who happen to be in positions of power.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that some people, I for one, I feel like when people talk about the gay and lesbian, you know, LGBT, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender movement, I feel like we should all have matching t-shirts and an agenda that we've emailed to everybody. And it turns out that that doesn't actually work that way.
Right.
That if we waited for the perfect...
Found the agenda, right? It's in a file somewhere around here.
Right, that's the problem. I mean, I've just been waiting for my manual to come because I feel like, you know, we shouldn't be doing this in these little sloppy ways that, you know, one person's doing a little something here and somebody else is doing a little something there. But it turns out that that actually works.
Exactly. And that's a really good point, Becca. And I think, you know, what is proven over time, and not just in the LGBT movement, but in the women's movement, the civil rights movement, and many other movements in this country, is that, again, there's no one answer. And what we care about at the task force is that people engage, that they pay attention, they do what they feel comfortable doing in terms of, you know, moving the ball forward. And that takes a lot of different forms at times.
And you mentioned the White House. Can we talk a little bit about the White House?
Sure.
So this is from the State of the Movement Address, which was fantastic. And I feel you wrote it in like 20 minutes. And you gave
That's
this...
That's so mean.
No,
I
just...
You sounded unplanned.
No,
and...
it was the exact opposite. I just feel this rolls... She wakes up and says, I'm the executive director. It's my bat mitzvah, and I can write this in 20 minutes. So
it
this
did take 25, I will admit.
Okay. You know, your honesty is much appreciated here, right?
I try.
Okay.
I try.
You just bailed him out there.
This is given on February 5th, and I have to be honest with you, pulling quotes out of this was really difficult, just because I want to read the whole thing, but then we don't have time for that. So I just thought it was... It struck all the right notes. It was great speech. But this is from that speech, and you said, quote, "We were eager to see what a fierce advocate could do, but now it's a year into this new administration, a year into this new Congress. There have been glimmers of the advocate, but certainly not fierceness. Speeches aren't change. Change is more than words. Change is action." And this, we talked to you on a day that President Obama, I think this is the funniest quote that I could read. He said today, quote, "I am proud to announce that earlier today I signed a memorandum that..." And then it does all these different things, but I couldn't muster up the energy and the excitement that he felt about this memorandum. So where are we, Ray? Are we frustrated? Are we hopeful? Are we all of the above? Where are we? Lead us.
Well, you know, I think we're all of those things.
Okay.
And what's interesting about this time is the potential for change is enormous. And so many of us waited, particularly through the last 8 years, or previous 8 years, with the previous administration, where nothing was getting done. In
right.
fact, quite the opposite. In the Bush administration, literally they went through agency by agency and took away many of the things that so many people had fought so long for.
Right.
And what's happening now, a colleague of mine describes it in a very good way, even if we're just looking at the federal government, it's as if someone went through in the Bush administration and unplugged every lamp that had anything to do with LGBT people.
Unbelievable.
And what we are now tasked to do as a people is to go through, and I'm just using the government as an example, but this is true in a lot of states, is to go through and not only find the lamps that have been stashed away in storage rooms, but then find the outlets to plug them into. And just when you look at the federal government, and I'm not even talking about Congress, but just the agencies and everything that the president has oversight about, there are hundreds and hundreds of changes that need to be made. We're leading up a coalition effort to make those changes. We have made, we've been successful in working together to achieve a number of things, and we have a long way to go. So, on the one hand, progress has been made in areas like prior to this last year in our advocacy and that of others, the federal government's policy on the U.S. Census was to manually divorce those of us who checked off that we were married to each other.
Right. Mm.
We changed that policy. And in some ways it may seem trivial. Okay, so now they don't manually divorce us. We actually appear as married. But what that means is that every federal agency and a lot of private foundations and researchers and government agencies use the census data to make decisions about money and programs. We believe that our community deserves money from the federal government. We pay taxes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that change alone will have a significant impact, not the least of which is it also it affects redistricting all over the country, right, and who represents us.
Right.
So while there has been progress, we are also incredibly frustrated, both with the administration and with Congress, because the potential is so enormous for what can happen. And I think, you know, at this particular point in history, we know enough from our experiences around the state, and frankly, Vermont has been a leader in this over the years, of what is possible. And we are now at the point where we've said, you know, enough. We have done our work. We have done our advocacy. We have told you the stories, we have lined up the votes, and now let's take some action. So it's possible, and, you know, part of when I talk about the previous administration, the Bush administration, there was no relationship there, right? We weren't even allowed to go talk to them. We're in a real relationship now, and for those of us who've been in real relationships, there are joys and there are frustrations, and that's the case. And so, you know, part of our role at the task force, we're an organization that, you know, doesn't stop and doesn't accept no for an answer, and we push and we push and we push, and we've got a lot more pushing to go as a community. And I believe we'll get a lot of change, but certainly people are frustrated.
I have to be honest with you, and I'm going to continue with the lamp metaphor. I feel completely overwhelmed just thinking about all the lamps that need to be turned back on.
Absolutely.
How do you refocus? Like, there's so many different issues on which to focus, and I feel like I would wake up and say, I really like that Tiffany lamp, so maybe I'll go turn that one on. And when, in fact, the other lamp had a much brighter bulb.
How do you prioritize? Like,
yeah, exactly. How do you do that?
Well, frankly, it's a pretty nerdy process.
Love it.
Love it.
What the policies... I'm a nerd, I admit it.
Yay.
We look at the policies. We look at who's in the positions in the different offices that have authority over those policies. And, you know, look at those that are a little bit lower hanging, in the lower hanging fruit analogy, that we can change. And so, you know, one of the frustrations that we had in the first year, frankly, is that the government hadn't staffed itself up. So in many cases, we knew there was a policy to be changed. We knew it would be relatively easy to get changed, but no one was in that job.
Right.
It took that long. It took a very long time for a lot of these positions to be filled. And now we're going through it in a very methodical, intentional way. To find all the lamps and turn them back on. And what that means is that there will be money and attention and programs flowing back to our community, which as I said before, we deserve.
We deserve it.
Just have so much patience, because every once in a while, don't you just like wake up screaming like, why? It's 2010. Like, why am I still arguing about this? Why? Because
yeah,
I do.
I've been feeling that in 2009.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and part of it is... I grew up, and I was very fortunate to grow up and come out at a young age and have a relatively supportive experience. And it's so, equality is so obvious.
Right.
To so many of us. And in some ways, it is so hard to believe that we are at this place where we are still arguing.
That we're radical.
For people to serve in the military.
Right.
Or for us to actually marry the people that we love. And so, yes, I actually do wake up in those days. And luckily I have the fortune of working for an organization that has been at this work a long time, and we don't give up. Sometimes we know that change takes time, but we also push.
Two questions. One, how do you prevent burnout doing all of that work? And second, how do you as a group react to a real big setback? Like when something is just really disappointing that happens, how does the Gay and Lesbian Task Force get together? How do they rally?
Well, first on the fun part and how to, you know, I don't know, stay sane or keep balance or, you know.
Right, because we all struggle.
That I truly enjoyed putting together my song list for you all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
So much fun. And I was, you know, that alone made me think, well, this is going to be a lot of fun. But it's, you know, it's listening to music. It's being with friends. It's, you know, having all those life experiences that in fact helped me not only, you know, take a break from the politics of it all, but in fact also inform it.
I love the idea, Ray, that some legislation is now going to pass because you had a great time submitting a playlist for our show. I'm going to hold on to that. And sure, perhaps it could be viewed as somewhat self-centered, but I enjoy it. And I'm going to hold on to that image.
Well,
me too.
Who knows? Let's see what else the Obama administration announces.
That's my new Facebook status.
Right. I know. We'll all change our Facebook status. But yeah, so it's, you know, it's having fun. And also, I'll give you an example of the task force. We run the national conference for our movement. It's called the National Conference for LGBT Equality, Creating Change.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous conference, incredible. I mean, it is what drives, you know, so much energy for me and our staff and for activists across the country. And it's, you know, it's serious business. There are a lot of workshops. We meet, we discuss. But we also have a lot of fun. And a few weeks after that, we also host a festival down in Miami called the Winter Party Festival that has women's arts events and dance parties and all this. And all of that is the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force.
Look at that.
Because, you know, as a predecessor of mine, Irva Shuvad, said, you know, we need a movement we can dance to.
That's fantastic. I'm just picturing us, like, with a big parade float and giant speakers and Madonna or Lady Gaga or something. It's fantastic. We're dancing.
It's about being human.
Right.
And about celebration. And I, you know, having come out in, and my first jobs were in working in HIV, and my first activism was street activism with HIV, and having lost a lot of friends to AIDS, you know, any celebration we can take, let's take it. And that's, you know, I chose Madonna's holiday song because that reminds me of that time and those moments that each one of us, no matter what job we have, whether it's in the movement or working at a bank or doing landscaping or you name it, we need moments of celebration where we celebrate our humanity. And that's really important. And, you know, part of it you asked about, so what do we do when we have a big defeat? You know, it's hard. It's really hard, especially because we pour everything we've got.
I bet.
Right, but you have such a good team. I imagine that you guys have some sort of rally point.
We do. We do. You know, and one of the things for us that's a little bit challenging is that we have offices all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
We have 6 offices. And so sometimes it's hard when, you know, we've experienced a defeat along with our colleagues and our friends around the country. But we have ways to, you know, come together, talk about what we learned, celebrate the progress that has been made. Even if we lost, we still made progress in some way, shape, or form, and pick ourselves up and move on. But we do. We have an amazing staff, and they are very talented and very skilled. And you know, part of what we so enjoy is that so much of our work is around the country, working with folks who really, you know, I'm inspired by what they're up against and getting up every morning and going at it.
Well, before we get to your song choices, Professor Carey, we would like you to give our listeners a little bit of homework. Tell our listeners what they should be doing with regard to talk, write, meet.
Well, you did read my speech.
I read the whole thing.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Well, we don't mess around here.
Next year. How about you give the speech next year?
Hey.
I will listen to that. I'll be very excited to hear that.
I'm already camped out. I'm there.
It's great. Well, actually, and I should plug Creating Change. It's an extraordinary
experience.
Best. Next year, we're in Minneapolis in early February, and you can go to creatingchange.org and learn all about it. We'd love to have people there.
Yeah, no, I've at every school I've worked at, I've sent my students to Creating Change, and they come back. It's kind of a mixed bag, I got to be honest with you, because sometimes they come back with more ideas than I can handle. But it's a good thing. Ultimately, it's a good thing.
Well, Nance, you know, we all inspire each other.
Yes.
That's the amazing thing. You get any large group of people together who are that passionate, and nothing but good can come of it.
So,
yeah.
Yes.
So the homework is this, and I did talk about this at Creating Change. One of the things that we like to say at the task force is you are your best advocate and you're our best advocate. And what we mean by that is, and I tell this to anyone who's going to meet with an elected official, you know more than they do about your life.
That's true.
And people get nervous. I mean, it's hard. You're going to talk to someone in power, but you know more about your life than they do. And so one of the things that we ask people to do, as I said in the earlier part of our conversation, we don't tell people what to care about. We don't tell people this is the only issue you should be focused on. Whatever's important to you in your life is important. And that's what you should talk, write, and meet about. And so when we say talk to someone, it doesn't have to even be an elected official. It can be a neighbor. It can be someone in your family who you haven't talked to about an issue. It could be some, you know, a coworker. Talk about something that's important for you. For some people, that's immigration.
Right.
For some people, it's healthcare. For some people, it's don't ask, don't tell. We're also asking everyone to just write. Write something. Write a blog, write on your Facebook page, send out a tweet, write a letter to the editor, again, about something that is important to you. And then meet. Meet with people who actually have leverage in your community, have the ability to affect a broader range of people. Sometimes that's you and the people in your life, but sometimes it's the head of a local organization. Sometimes it's an elected official or other community leader. But talking and writing and meeting on issues that affect each of our lives is so critical. You know, we're here in Pride Month.
Yeah.
And as many people know, Pride Month started out and honored the Stonewall Uprising. And what they were about was insisting on their own humanity and living their lives freely the way they wanted to. And I encourage everyone to do that.
That's what I'm leaving on Friday, Ray, for the San Francisco to LA AIDS ride. And just the idea of just meeting someone. I mean, I went last year and it was a fantastic thing. And this year I'm blogging for it. And I'm just so excited to be writing about it and meeting all these people and talking. So I like this homework.
Well, that'll be incredible.
I love this
blog.
Yeah, no, it's I'm super excited. And I've been saying I have 2 days. I come back from LA. I'm here for 2 days and then I'm actually off to Uganda. I'm going to write about that too.
That's going to be incredible.
I feel so inspired. I'm going to go write something.
Yes, and you need to go meet with people and then talk to them. It doesn't have to be in that order, right, Ray? We could do it in any order.
No, you mix it up.
Okay.
I think, you know.
Just check it.
Keep it fresh, mix it up.
All right, so we got to talk about your musical selections.
Yeah, we do.
All right.
I don't know if you know how we do things around here, but
this is the part of the show where you tell our listening audience what these musical selections say about Ray Carey.
In addition to my bat mitzvah?
Yes.
So it's not just about you becoming a woman. We're going to...
Though that could be part of it.
It could be it. We're going to cue you with the song, and you are going to tell our listening audience, hey, this is what this says. So we'll start off easy. What does We Are Family by Sister Sledge say about Ray Carey?
Well, first of all, it's a classic gay song.
It is.
Yeah, it is. I got to say.
The gayest of gay, right? And I chose one from each decade that I've been aware that I'm gay. So the first one is from the 70s, Sister Sledge, We Are Family. It's one of my ringtones on my phone.
Nice.
Nice.
You know, anytime it plays, I got to get up and dance.
I feel like I need to change my ringtone now.
And then the people in the room are like, Ray, pick it up. It's Joe from HRC. And
they're like,
yeah,
that's
whatever.
The gayest ringtone ever. Who is this lady? Oh.
That's awesome. All right. Good one. That's a good one. I'm going to jump around decades a little bit. And I have to tell you, I said this earlier in the show, Ray, this is the first time in, I think, maybe over a year that the guests' musical choices, I didn't have to download anything new. I had all these on my iPod already.
That's
so
how gay they are.
Yeah, that is how gay they are.
I don't know what you're saying about me, but, so the
she
next
gay,
one, the song that cued you in, what does, Lady Gaga's Just Dance say about Ray Carey?
Ooh. Well, first of all, I think she's just about the queerest person on the universe at this point.
Absolutely.
She is just, and she's smart. You know, she's been a performance artist. She's super smart. I see her as the kind of the next version of Madonna, of Cyndi Lauper, of some of the icons of gay culture, and with her own smart twist. And, you know, I'm not even talking about her fashion. So, again, Just Dance, it's about, you know, people coming together, celebrating life. I just love her.
See, we get
That's
to apply
awesome.
These to you. So we are telling our listening audience that Ray Carey is the next pop icon, but with a twist. That's what we're going with.
Wardrobe is nowhere near as interesting.
Yeah, well,
you have time.
And,
you got
and
a while till your next speech, right?
We'll only make you do one more. What does the
I'll
pet...
come out next year on stage at Creating Changes, Lady Gaga, how about?
You should get Lady Gaga to design your next outfit.
That would be great.
For a speech.
That
well,
be...
I tell you, I'm surrounded by enough creative gay men in particular that...
you don't need her.
Yeah.
You don't need her.
Wow.
Last one. What does... this song's going to play out in just a few. What does the Pet Shop Boys' Go West say about Ray Carey?
Well, I'm from the West. I'm a Colorado gal. And quite honestly, Colorado and Vermont remind me of a lot of each other.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Friendly places. People are really focused on being outside, being active. And I'm from the West, even though I've been on the East Coast for a while. It is my heart to be in the mountains, to be where there's big sky in Colorado and go back there frequently. So that's about me being from Colorado.
All right.
That's fantastic.
So where can folks go to learn more about the task force?
Well, we would love for folks to visit us at www.thetaskforce.org, but we also want people to join us on Facebook and Twitter. We tweet a lot.
Yes.
As do I when I have time, and my Facebook put a bunch of stuff up there. I'd love to have some more friends, and I'm just, you know, Ray Carey on Facebook, easy to find.
So now, is this something we should be doing, this tweeting thing? I keep asking guests because I don't really get it.
Think of it as the haiku of communication.
I love that you think you just sold it by saying that.
She kind of did, though.
That's the cutest part about what just happened, is that you thought you were selling it.
You know what's funny? It totally worked for me.
Now, I have to tell you something. Let's talk about the Task Force's website for a second, because it is different than some of your sister organization's websites in that you don't have to dig to find Ray Carey on there. Is that a very intentional...
Crazy. They propped me right up on front there, huh?
Yeah.
But I would imagine there's a strong message inherent in that.
Well, you know, I have something to say usually. So we try to connect it to that. What's really great, and actually if people go to our website and join our activist list, is that we actually do a lot of interactive stuff. A lot of our staff carry flip cameras with us. And so you'll see on our website and on Facebook, and sometimes we'll tweet out links, we're doing, you know, a lot of interactive work around the country. And we want people to know about it. So, you know, join us.
And you love your job, do you not?
I do. I do love it.
How could you not?
I have to tell you, Ray, you email me tomorrow and you email me that you need me to come. I would drop everything. If you have some use for some random dean in Vermont with a random ass PhD, I will come work for you in a heartbeat.
Hey, we love random deans and PhDs.
There you go.
So how about just, you know, radio show host?
You could live blog from Creating Change next year in Minneapolis.
I would love it.
Well,
I would love it.
To have you.
Oh, Ray, what an absolute pleasure. I mean, you have to know that you're making a huge difference in the world.
Well, a lot of people have made a difference in my life, and, you know, it's just part of the same cycle. We're all helping each other out and making change.
Well, my hope is that you hear this enough, but let's put it out there right now. We are enormously appreciative of the energy that you are putting into creating change.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you both very much. I've loved being on your show and happy to kick off your summer for you.
And that you take time out of in the middle of your bat mitzvah. I mean, I can't imagine your family's too happy, but...
Well, I've left them dancing in the room. They're calling me back, though, so I should probably...
Ray
Carey. Putting your songs on my iPod instantly so I can go clean my house and get inspired to write haiku.
That nice. Ray Carey, an absolute, absolute treat having you on the show. Keep doing what you're doing. We are so appreciative.
Thank you. You've got it. We certainly will.
All the best, Ray.
All right. Take care.
See ya.
All right.
What a pleasure. How cool is she?
That was really cool.
Let's keep her.
She's a keeper. I just, the idea of I would feel overwhelmed by that position. And so it makes me feel so great that I know that there's someone in that position who realizes...
Calm, cool, collected.
Well, but also can appreciate the enormity of it, because there is an enormity to it, but appreciates that and can just go in a direction.
That's right. And she's like cool as hell. That's it.
There you go.
Oh, snap.
There you go. So this is what's going on for us. There's always ways to get in touch with us here at This Show Is So Gay. You can email us, and we'll be checking email throughout the summer. You can email us at thisshowissogay@aol.com. And we switched up the Facebook a little bit. So we're moving a little bit away from the group, and we're moving into the page because it's a little easier to update. So please, if you just type in This Show Is So Gay into the Facebook, you will see two different options. One is the group, one is the page. I say join both. But if you're sitting there thinking, I need to budget my gay life on Facebook and I can only join one This Show Is So Gay thing, join the page.
But do it.
You could do both. You could do both.
We'd be happy to have you.
And as always, just stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com where you can subscribe to our iTunes link. We have amazing guests coming up in July. And of course, I say July because, as we've been saying all night, we are taking a little bit of time off.
Yes, we are.
We'll be taking June off and we'll be running some rainbow repeats. What did I call them? Rainbow rewinds.
Yeah.
I'm going to coin that phrase.
Go for it.
Rainbow Rewinds. And so I think next week we're going to replay the show with Ant. That was a fun one. So definitely subscribe to the link that takes you to iTunes so that you don't even have to think about downloading our show. It's, you know.
It does it magically.
It does it
auto-magically.
We love it. So that's it. What do you got going on for the next month?
Lots of stuff. Secrets.
All right.
I'm going to be writing my haiku.
Okay. There you go. And as I said, I will be blogging from AIDS Life Cycle 9, and I will link to it on This Show Is So Gay on our homepage, thisshowissogay.com. But I will also tell you here that you can just go to aidslifecycle.org/experience and you will be able to click on. I'm the roadie blogger for the event. So
that's
folks
awesome.
Who are not able to make the ride, they will be able to read about the hijinks that I am creating there.
And we're going to link
ride.
To it.
Yes.
And it'll be great.
It'll be great. And then I will also be blogging from Uganda, and I will be linking to that as well.
I can't believe you're going to Uganda.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a really... June 15th and 16th between the AIDS ride in Uganda. I don't know what the heck
I'm
going to
be thinking. How do you prepare?
I don't. I really just kind of wing
dive
it.
In.
I just
Good luck.
Wing it. So this
we'll
is...
We'll miss you.
Well, I'm going to miss you
Be
guys.
Careful and
I will
safe
be
out
very
there.
Careful, trust me. So it's an opportunity that know that we're always thinking, but we will take this opportunity to say it out loud. We appreciate you listeners so much. We love your emails. We love your guest ideas. We love our guests. And we love doing this. So.
And we're going to come back renewed and ready to tackle.
Very exciting. Very exciting. So get out there, folks. Have an amazing June. Have an amazing June. We will talk to you again in July. And in June, get out there, do amazing things, talk to people, write about things, meet people.
Give us a lot to talk about in July when
exactly.
we get back.
And remember, above all else during this June, why be gay when you can be so gay?